All right, I want to finish, not finish, but do part number four on Listen to Your Heart. And next Sunday morning I will finish it, Listen to Your Heart series. This is actually, you know, we are, how many remember what we taught? We're a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body, right? Spirit, soul, and body. And this teaching, Listen to Your Heart, is really talking about how to be led by the Spirit and how to train the human spirit. And this lesson is why believers fail to follow their hearts. We're going to look at some reasons why people don't follow their hearts. Now, Romans 8:14, we're going to read from Romans 8:14. All right, I'll give you all a chance to turn there. All right. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. That's the New King James. The God Word translation says, certainly all who are guided by God's Spirit are God's children. Now, every believer should learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit in every area of their life. Yet, so many times, believers fail to follow the inward witness. Sometimes we call it inner witness, but it's what's on the inside. And, of course, this can lead to unpleasant circumstances. You know, and so, like I said, I want to look at some reasons why people don't follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, some people are just spiritually locked up and underdeveloped in their spirit man. You know, they fail to follow their heart because they've never been taught how to follow the inward witness on the inside. You know, we are taught from an early age to listen to our physical senses, taste, touch, smell, hear, so forth and so on, and depend on that. In some areas, we have to do that. You better depend on your hearing. If you start to step out in that street there and you hear a car honk at you, you better depend on that, as that's a warning. I'm about to run over you. You know what I mean? So when you get to talking about being led by the Spirit, some people get so over here so spiritually minded that they're no earthly good and they get in trouble. And then some people are over here, they're so earthly minded and dependent on the intellect so much that they're no heavenly good. You got to have both of them working together. Hello? What I say all the time? This natural and the supernatural working together make the explosive force for God. All right? You see, people have kept their spirit locked up and underdeveloped, and so that explains why they experience failure sometimes in life. You know, the Holy Spirit may try to warn somebody of danger, and however, if they don't respond to that and simply respond strictly to the natural, sometimes they may suffer some consequences on that. You know, actually, people that are underdeveloped spiritually, they become real susceptible, or I don't know another word I could use. I guess I could use to the false teaching or to con artists. Hello? Spiritual con artists. We have them all the time. We have to deal with them. We as pastors and ministers and know what we're talking about. Over the years here at Rhema, being, you know, starting it back in September 74, I've seen a lot of students come and they got their money, okay? Now somebody else comes along and began, you know, I call them a spiritual con artist. They begin to tell a sad story, how desperate they are. And out of compassion and ignorance, these people give away their tuition money. Now they don't have any money to pay their own tuition. And after a few weeks of hanging around, These people are gone with money in hand. You know, that sort of way. They're spiritual con artists that walk around. Some people, y'all look at me, I'm funny, but it's the truth. We, as pastors, see this all the time. You begin to recognize it from the natural, in fact. Once you've been around it enough, you can recognize it in the natural. But you need to pick it up on the inside in your spirit. How many of you have ever been taken advantage of by a spiritual con artist? Be honest. And it was mostly, I have, mostly because we weren't listening to the Spirit on the inside. He tries to warn us. The Holy Spirit tries to warn us. You know, my dad tells this story about, it's a lady pastor, and so a big name evangelist, this happened many years ago, came to hold a citywide meeting in her town, and so he went to her because she had a nice church, and he convinced her to pay the $3,000 rental fee for the building of the meetings, and he assured her, once the meeting's over, I'll pay you all back and so forth. It was a very successful meeting. A lot of people were blessed and helped. He took an offering every night, got more than enough to pay for the expenses, but he skipped out of town with all the money and left her not only paying the $3,000 for the building, but about $5,000 more in expenses for the crusade. And so here this pastor has been out all this money. Now that was back probably in the late 50s, early 60s, and that would have been about $8,000. That was a lot of money back then. And so she decided he's not going to get away with this. So she went to where his next big meeting was, big crowd. She went right up on the platform and sat down beside of him with a briefcase. And she told him, she said, I'm here, and I'm going to receive the offering every night. And until I get my money back, I'm going to put it in this briefcase. Until I get my money back, I'm going to be on this stage every... Oh, you can't do that? She said, okay. If I can't do that, then I'm going to get up here and I'm going to tell this congregation exactly what you did. Well, she got her money back. I don't know whether that was the right way to do it or not, but that's one way to do it, okay? And so she was later talking to my mom and dad, and she said, you know, when he came and asked me about that, something on the inside of me kept saying, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. But my head overruled because he's a big evangelist and so forth and so on, and I just overruled that. She said, I could have saved myself a plane ticket and a whole lot of trouble if I'd have just listened to the Spirit on the inside. But she overrode that because of the name the guy had, and she just listened to her head. You know, listening to our spirit on the inside will save us a lot of trouble. Turn to your neighbor and say, listen to your spirit on the inside will save you a lot of trouble. And me. Now, some people don't listen to the man on the inside. I like to call him, you know, Peter called him the hidden man of the heart. In other places, it's called the inward man. Now, some believers are too busy to get quiet and listen to the Lord. They're too busy about all these natural things that are going on. They don't listen. You know, I know this pastor. I know about his wrecks. And he was talking to Dad about, he said he had three serious automobile accidents in a 10-year period in which people were killed. He himself was seriously injured in the last wreck, and his wife, unless God miraculously intervened and kept her alive. And so later on, Dad was holding a meeting for him in his church. This happened back in the 50s. And Dad taught on how to be led by the Spirit. In fact, my book, Listen to Your Heart, is just sort of his book of how to be led by the Spirit done more in a different fashion. And so he taught on how to be led. And when the pastor heard this teaching, he told Dad, he said, if I'd only heard this 10 years ago, how to be led by my Spirit, I'd have never had either one of those accidents. The pastor went on to say, before every one of those, I had something on the inside of me, this feeling of something that something wasn't right. And each time I said, oh, I'm in a hurry. I ain't got time to mess around. I'm in a hurry. I was too busy to stop long enough and get quiet and talk to the Lord about this. You know, sometimes we need to realize if we don't just feel exactly right about something, we need to begin to pray about it, okay? We live in a high pressure time. We're busy, 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 go, 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 go. And sometimes we get too busy to listen to the Holy Spirit. Y'all there? Y'all gone home already? How many understand what I'm talking about? How many of y'all are getting anything out of this Listen to Your Heart series? Good, I'm glad. You know, I've learned some of this by listening to Dad, and then I learned some of it the hard way because I didn't listen. All right? But we need to pay attention when we get a check. But now let me say this to you. You can't get a check for somebody else. They got to do it themselves. I mean, you know, sometimes family members, because they don't like what's going on, they say, well, I just don't feel right about it. Hey, if the person's of age, now if they're underage and still under your household, that's a different story. But if they're adult for themselves, then they've got to do it. How many understand what I'm saying to you? And then, you know, when we begin, make sure that we pay attention to the Holy Spirit. Okay? Be sure it's the Holy Spirit. Some people want to do things because they want to do it. The Holy Spirit wants to help us to avoid devil's traps. And so it's important that we know that it's the Holy Spirit and not just our own selves. Okay? Now, in John 16:13, it tells us that the Holy Spirit will tell us things to come. You know, he will warn you if you will listen, but you've got to listen. And you can't be led by the Spirit for somebody else. Come on now, don't look at me like that. You can pray that they'll listen to the Holy Spirit if you don't think something's right, but you can't be led for somebody else. There are many times that people have left this staff, and my wife and I have talked about it, and I said, you know what? They're missing it. I knew they were missing it. But it's not for me to try to tell them anything. Hello? They're going to have to do it for themselves. Sometimes people, and I'll talk about this in a minute, they jump out too quick. It may be God, but and I'm getting ahead of myself. All right, let me get back here. You know, the Holy Spirit knows the future better than you do. Okay? And he may warn you to delay your departure from home or something sometimes. You know, but you got to recognize it's the inward witness and not just you not wanting to go to work. Hello. You know, 9/11, when 9/11 happened, I remember a pastor telling me this, and it was either somebody in his church or somebody that he's a friend with up there in New Jersey. This man did construction, had a construction business and did stuff, and he was working in the Twin Towers. And so normally he would go to work first and assess everything with the crew and everything. He would go to work first and assess. I don't know whether they had a crew or not, but he'd go to work and he'd assess it. Then he would go get supplies and come back and do the job. But on this particular morning, he said it seemed like something on the inside of him kept saying, go get your supplies first and then go. And that's what he did. And if he hadn't, he would have been one of the casualties in the Twin Towers. See, sometimes we don't need to ignore some of these things. You know, now the Holy Spirit is a gentleman and he won't knock you in the head. He will simply push, urge, gently give you a reminder. He guides and directs only when the door is open to him. When you open the door and ask him to. You know, now some people go their way instead of God's way. Some believers fail to follow the help because they want to pursue their own desires. You know, when it's time to make a decision, you need to listen closely to what the Holy Spirit is saying and not what your head is saying, not what other people are saying to you. Because if you don't, you can get in trouble. You can shut off the voice of your spirit if you want to. And you can lean to your own understanding or what other people have to say. I have had to go against friends of mine and different people. When I came with this ministry, to go to work with this ministry, I knew in my heart that it was right. All of my buddies, my preacher buddies, everybody told me, it's wrong, man, you shouldn't do that, blah, 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 blah. I had people telling me that. And I listened to what they had to say, but then I didn't account it because I knew what I had inside of me. And I wouldn't be here today if I'd have listened to them. All right. Now I've seen people called to the full-time ministry who quit their job prematurely and jump out. I've seen this. I mean, I saw it with my dad, and I saw it in my own ministry. I saw it with my father-in-law when I was associate with him, and I've seen him talk to young ministers. Oh, Brother Tipton, I know the Lord's called me. He said, yeah, I know that, but you need to wait. You need to listen. But they jump out and make a mess of their own ministry because they weren't properly ready. Many times they don't have the proper finances in line. They don't have everything else in line. You know, many people fail to recognize this, that God has called them, but they don't recognize that the timing is important. And that's the very next thing I want to talk about. See, now when we're talking about here, some people just want to do it because they want to do it. All right, they're called, but they want to do it, but it's not in God's timing. The next one is God's timing. People miss it because there's a right time and a wrong time. In fact, if you remember reading in the Word of God, it said, there's a time for everything. Hello? Go read Ecclesiastes. It's in there. How many ever read that over in Ecclesiastes? There's a time for everything. See, I mean, there's a time for harvest and a time to plant and so forth and so on. And what some people don't realize with their ministry, sometimes they're in the planting or the taking care of. You plant a crop. My grandpa used to plant a crop, but then he would spend several months taking care of that crop while it was growing and so forth and so on. And finally it would be harvested. We need to realize that sometimes that we may have a call from God for something, but we may be in that time when you're just taking care of the call, getting it, getting ready, preparing everything, keeping everything going, and the timing, then it's a harvest time. We need to realize that we can't jump out too quick. Come on now. See? The Spirit of God on the inside of you will tell you the right time. Now, in 1972... Mama Papa Goodwin ministered to me, and I'd even forgot this, and it's in my book, I guess, and I asked my wife, I said, do you remember? She said, oh, yeah, I remember this. Now, I remember, I guess it's because I was getting ready to trying to put the school together. I remember him talking to me about the letter killeth, but the spirit makes alive, and they were talking about, And then they were talking about that you got to put the learning, natural learning with the spirit, and that's what Rhema's built on, if y'all didn't realize that. But then they also talked to me and prophesied to me. Well, Mom and Papa Goodwin, they do it. She would give interpretation, and Papa Goodwin would do she would give the tongues, and he would do the interpretation. I've known them ever since I was born, right after I was born. And, you know, they spoke to me and told me in 72 that the Lord was going to use me in the healing ministry with a special healing anointing. Well, praise the Lord. That wasn't until 77 till it happened. See, I didn't try to make it happen. I didn't jump out there. But in 77, the Lord had spoken to my heart. And one of the Faith Creation singers began to say almost verbatim the words that had been spoken to me. And so, see, it was time to step out. That was the time right then. That was the time to begin that ministry. I obeyed that, and I've been doing that ever since. See, once you hear from God, you need to let it happen God's way. Don't try to make it happen your way. Hello? I'm going to say that again. Once you hear from God about something, don't try to make it happen. Let it happen God's way. Let God direct. Don't try to make things the Lord tells you to come to pass with your own strength. When you get ahead of God, you create problems. My dad said he would rather be one step behind the Lord than two steps in front of him. And what he meant by that, and he meant that some people, they know what the Lord says and they run out in front of him rather than staying back behind and letting him guide, letting him lead, letting him direct, okay? You know, when you get ahead of God, you get in trouble. We came out here in 76, bought that first building on the corner out there. And half of RMA that's behind it, and then the 3 acres back behind that. That's 6 acres with the two buildings. Now, that was in 76. And as things progressed, people told, oh, you're going too slow. You're going too slow. You need to speed this up. You need to get this thing built. Blah, 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 blah. Some of them say, I thought God told you to build Rhema. I said he did. But I'm going to build it as he says. You see, I had been through enough other experiences that I wasn't about to mess this one up, all right? Now, I'm talking about me. I ain't talking about you. I know you don't ever mess up, but I did, okay? I hadn't listened to God sometimes and got myself in trouble. This time I didn't. You see, but when the Holy Spirit prompted us, when I knew it was right, we took the next step, put the next building, did the next thing, and we don't owe a whole bunch of money on this campus because we did it in stages. Hello? And all of you know that this building's being built right now. We started talking about building this building 5 years ago, I think it was. 2008, she says. 2008 we started, and I first of all was going to put it across the street, and I didn't feel right about that. I said, no, that's not right. And then I put that building all over this 110 acre campus where there was some over here where the soccer fields are. I over here where that fit. I mean, I put it everywhere. I put it over on the west side of the NRC over there. Then I put it on this backside here. I said, well, now that drops down there. We could have the way we could build that with walls. We could have it underneath here, and then we could have up top. And man, you know, and I did all over the place. But it wasn't until, suddenly one day, it was just right there. That's where it goes. And the Lord said, you got the parking lot. You don't have to put in no parking lots. You don't have to do any kind of special lighting, because if we was going to put it across the street over there, we had to do special lighting so that it did not shine into the neighbors back there. And we had to do special landscaping and so forth and so on. But right there, it fit fine and it was good. But now, I had a lot of people that said, well, you said we're going to build a building. We ain't done it yet. Well, hey, until it's right, you don't move. Yeah. At first, you know, the youth were together, and during that time we divided up and got it like it is now. See, God knew what was going to happen before we did. And God knows what's going to happen before you do. But sometimes people say, oh, it's taking too long. If it's taking too long and you're waiting on God, that's good. Don't jump out ahead. Don't get in trouble. All right. Now, I guess I better go on. All right. Did y'all get that one? Now, some people never let go of the past, and that's why they can't listen to God for the future. They're hindered from obeying God for the future because they can't let go of what happened back here. You know, the prophet Samuel had trouble letting go of the past. Look in 1 Samuel 15:35, and then we're going to go to 1 Samuel 16:1, okay? Samuel was grieved because the Lord had rejected Saul as Israel's king. Now look at that, 1 Samuel 15:35. Samuel never went to meet with Saul again, but he mourned him constantly for him. That's in 15:35. Now go to 1 Samuel 16:1. Turn this over to 1 Samuel 16:1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, you've mourned long enough for Saul. I've rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with oil and go to Bethlehem and find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be the king. Now you got to realize that in that day and time, only the prophet, priest, and king was anointed. They had the Holy Spirit upon them. And oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. So when they were anointed with that oil, that was a type of being anointed by the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit within us. Now, the king would go ask the prophet whether he is supposed to do something or not. You remember reading that in the Word of God? How many of you read that in the Word of God? The reason is because he was anointed for king. That's it. The priest was anointed to do the priestly duties. The prophet was anointed for these things. But now we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. We can ask the Holy Spirit ourselves. We don't have to ask somebody else. In fact, you'll get yourself in trouble if you keep asking somebody else, oh, you got a word for me. You got a word for me. I need a word from the Lord. Well, here's a bunch of words from the Lord right here in the Bible. One time I was there. I remember when it happened. They got an emergency phone call. I was traveling with him. They come and got him. We was traveling in the trailer. Brother Hagin, hey, you got an emergency phone call in the pastor's house, because our trailer was right outside there by the church. And Dad went in there, and these people said, about 2:30 in the morning or 3 o'clock, something like that. And this person on there said, Brother Hagin, we was having an all-night prayer meeting, and we felt like we ought need to call you and see if you had a word from the Lord for us. My dad said, I had a word for him, all right, but it wasn't from the Lord. Hello. You know, but Samuel was mourning over Saul. Now, some people are mourning over past mistakes, failures, and it's hindering them from taking the next step. I want you to notice here, he told him, he said, you mourn long enough, now get up from here. Get up and go. You see, they repeatedly keep saying, oh, I messed up. I'm so, God told me I messed up. I made a mess of everything. Oh, I can't ever do anything from God. Combination of past failures will keep you from going on with God. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to hold you in that position because if he can keep you from moving on and doing what God wants you to do. See, you need to do, if you're in that category, you need to do what the Lord told Samuel. After he told him, he said, stop mourning over the past. God said, okay, get the Holy Ghost. That's what you need to do. Get full of the oil of the Holy Spirit and move on. You know, if you've asked God to forgive you for your past mistakes and he's not remembering it anymore anyway, why are you remembering it? Move on with him. Let the oil of the Holy Spirit be there, okay? Now, some people do not take it one step at a time, okay? Some believers want to see the whole picture before they step out and do anything. The Lord said we're going to start Rhema. Well, nobody had ever had a school like this before. There wasn't one in existence when we started. And, you know, I thought, well, okay, if we have 58 students, maybe I'd be good. Nobody, you know. But God, you know, somebody said, well, what is your 5-year plan? What is your 10-year plan? I said, I don't have one. What? And you're going to start? I said, all I'm doing is what I was told I got the first step. See, when the prophet obeyed and went down to Jesse's house, he didn't tell him ahead of time who to anoint. He said, go down to Jesse's house. And then when he got there, he told him what to do. Now, once he got there, he led further. And then besides that, he had 7 sons pass. And Samuel said, hey, you got any more boys? This ain't it. Now, I realize that's not good English, but this isn't it, I should have said. But we all understand that, right? Okay. So I don't need any letters about my English, okay? Somebody said, well, why don't you say that? Because I get them occasionally. Somebody in your position ought to speak more eloquently. Thank you. But I speak how I know how to speak, okay? Now, finally, thank you. Finally, when David, he asked him, he said, oh, yeah, we got one more out here. He's just a kid, though. When he got there, the Holy Spirit said, this is the one. This is him right here. Now, David didn't look like a king. I mean, you can read the account of his other brothers. I mean, they were big and strong, and they looked, you know, the point. Here come this 17-year-old kid coming in there. Yeah, we'll preach. The Holy Spirit often leads us the same way, one step at a time. He's promised to direct our paths, right? He's promised to direct our paths. Isaiah 30:21 says, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left hand. You know, sometimes an inward witness to me, sometimes I'll have an inner wish, something not right. And so, right here in the own ministry. So I start walking around. Now I'm going to make everybody nervous. I just start walking around the campus from one building to the other, one office, one department into another department. I know something's not right, but I don't know what it is. Until I find, you know, you get in there and then the Lord begin to talk to you, okay? And don't none of y'all at work get upset, okay? And then I can begin, I know, hey, here it is. Now I can begin to ask the Lord, what's the situation? What needs to be taken care of? You know, Psalms 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light into my pathway. It didn't say your word is a floodlight. You know, a floodlight lights up a whole bunch of stuff, okay? Actually, let's read it like this. God's word is a flashlight on my path. What does a flashlight show you? One or two steps at a time, right? Now, you can take it and shine it way out there, but when you do, you can't see what's in front of you here. You have to keep shining right in front of you. Am I right? See, there's some people miss it, and they don't go with God because they want a giant floodlight that shows them way out there 5, 10, 15 years from now. God don't do it that way. I'm sorry. That's not walking by faith. That's walking by sight. I mean, when you just got light for one step at a time, you have to take that for you know what the next one is. It takes a little bit of faith. Actually, it takes a whole lot of faith. Hello. See, we need to realize if we don't move, then the light don't move. Let me say that again. If we don't move, standing here, they're holding the light, but when you take a step, look, the light moves. Hello? Yeah. Let me, I didn't think about this just now. Let me do this. Cancel that out. Okay. Oh, I got a light here shining down on that black carpet. Yeah, here we go. Guess it. Turn the light down. That's good. Now that light is showing me right in front of me. If I shine it out over there, I can see the edge, but I got here. Now look, if I move, that light moves. If I move, the light moves. Hello now, come on. We have to learn to realize that's the way God leads us. He may be telling us on the inside to do something, but he's only shining us just a little bit. We don't know what the next step is. So if we don't move, the light don't move. Come on now. See, as you learn how to follow God, and accept the fact that God is going to lead you one step at a time, not with a giant floodlight that shows you the whole thing, then you can begin to move one step at a time and expect him to take you where you need to go so you'll be at the right spot at the right time. And as you follow me, at one step at a time, I will lead you, I will guide you, I will direct you, and you will end up where you're supposed to go. But if you wait for the light to move, you will never move, because I can't move until you move. If you move, I will move, and you will see that it will be grand and glorious, and you'll shout the victory. Hallelujah to Jesus. That was the Spirit of God speaking. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, talk to these people for a few moments today about the reasons that some people don't follow you. And I pray, Father, that whatever was said today will find lodgment in his hearts, and may we learn more and more and more to follow your direction and your spirit. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Anybody get anything out of this today? Hallelujah. I know that all of you didn't need everything that was said, but all of you needed something that was said. So grab a hold of that part and adjust your life so that you can continue to follow the Spirit of God. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment, please? Nobody move unless you absolutely have to. I understand if you have to, it's okay. If you're in this place today and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, there is no way you can be led by the Spirit until you know Jesus Christ. Or if you know what it is to be in the Lord, but you know you need to rededicate your life, you're not where you should be. Or you may say, like a lot of people, I go to church, but I don't know whether I'm born again or not, whether I've accepted Christ. I want to pray for you if you're in that any one of those three categories. You need Christ, you need to rededicate, you need to know so experience. Let me see your hand now, anywhere in this room. Let me see your hand. Anybody, anywhere in the room. There's a hand over here. Thank you. Thank you. Was there a hand on this side? I thought I saw a hand over here somewhere. Maybe they're just putting on a coat. I don't know. Thank you. Any other hands? Hands up back here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, I have another invitation, and I've been taught about being led by the Spirit. Well, there's an experience of being filled with the Spirit. According to Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. And you'd say, I want to receive that biblical experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit today. Anybody in the room? Let me see your hand. Anybody, anywhere in the room? Everybody stand, please. I saw a hand over here. Thank you. And one back here. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, as they're singing, I want you to step out in the aisle and come down here right now. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, come on down right now. If you don't want to walk by yourself, ask somebody and they'll walk down here with you. Come on. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, come on. I know that there were at least three or four hands that were raised. Come on, buddy. God bless you, man. Just stand right here. We'll wait for some more people to come. I know there's come on. I know there were several more that raised their hand. Come on. I also know in my spirit there's several others that should get down here. I'm going to wait a minute. I'm going to wait on you. Come on. Just come on. Just come on right now. Come on. From over here. From over there. Come on. Just come on right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to wait a minute. Come as you are. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Just come on. Just come on right now. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. Oh, praise God. God bless you, man. Praise the Lord. Just stand right up here with me. Hallelujah to Jesus. Anybody else coming? Come on. I know that there's more hands were raised. Also, no more in my spirit. There should be more people down here. Thank you, Jesus. He's waiting. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, guys. I'm going to pray with you here, right here. And then I'm going to ask you to go to a special place of prayer where you can be prayed with individually and in depth, okay? But the same place you're going to right now to be prayed with becomes a classroom on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. And I'd like to see you in that classroom. It's called Turning Point. You say, what's that mean? Well, it's just a few classes to get your life turned on to God or back on to God. That's all it is. And I'd like to see you there next Sunday morning. Would you just raise one hand toward heaven? I don't care which one. Congregation, reach your hands out toward these right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these that have come. I thank you that every spiritual need in their life will be met today. Salvation, rededication, no so experience. Blessed infilling of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. See Greg right there? He's going to lead you to that special place where you can be dealt with and prayed with. Okay, you can go that way. If he needs to sit down and push him, I'd be fine too. Or just the walker's good. All right, praise God. Hallelujah. Give him a hand as they go. Thank God. That's what it's all about right there. Tonight right here, 6 o'clock, praise the Lord. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Hey, pray for the crusade team as we go today. Connection team, go find our first-time guests, and let's take them to get a special gift that we put together for you. You're going to like it. It's a nice gift. All right. Praise the Lord. There's where everybody's going. Staff, go to your doors so we can shake hands with everybody. Amen and amen. Thank you. First time guests, thank you for being with us today. We're so glad to have you. We invite you to come and be a part of our Rhema family. Praise the Lord. They're going to sing a chorus, then they're going to dismiss. God bless you. I'll see you next Sunday morning. We're going to finish Listen to Your Heart next Sunday morning, part number 5. God bless. We'll see you next Sunday. But you be here tonight and Wednesday night, okay?